Hi, my name is Andrew Connell. In this brief video, I'm going to walk you through the Office 365 Development Patterns and Practices Sample Provisioning.Publishing features. In an effort to help customers address the most impactful and useful scenarios, the Office 365 Development Patterns and Practices group has created a number of code samples that complete common customer scenarios. The code is published in a public GitHub repository located at https://github.com/officedev/pnp, and it contains solution packs of content as well as sample packs of sample code that has been reviewed by the Office 365 team and blessed as a recommended way to approach these different scenarios. The scenario demonstrates how to perform commonly requested and implemented tasks on SharePoint publishing sites hosted in Office 365. The tasks demonstrated in this scenario include the following: provisioning a page layout and corresponding content type for use in creating new pages, creating new publishing pages using a specified page layout and content type, provision a custom master page and then configure the site to use that custom master page, provision a custom theme and configure the site to use that theme, and finally configure filters that control what site templates are available for creating subsites within the publishing sites, as well as which page layouts are available for use within specific sites. Let's see the sample in action. Let's take a look at the code in this project. So what I've done is I've opened up the solution in Visual Studio 2013, and you'll see there's three projects in this solution. The first one is the shared Office Dev PMP core project that's shared across many of the different projects in the PMP package. I then have an app project, and then I have a remote web. What I've done is I've taken this app project and I've deployed this to Office 365 and I've set it to work with my Office 365 developer site that has the publishing features enabled. So if I click start, it will go ahead and package up the project, deploy it, and then I'll go ahead and install it, and it will take me to the start page for my remote web. Okay, so here we are at the homepage for our remote web. So let's see what this does. The first scenario here is going to deploy some page layouts. So if I click on this button, it's going to create a new content type for the page layout. It'll deploy a page layout, an ASPX page, that's associated to the content type we just created. And then that page layout is going to contain some JavaScript on it that's going to use the social API part of the CSOM to display some information about the current user. And then finally, it'll create a new publishing page based on the page layout that we just created. So if I go back to my host site here, I'm going to do this in a separate tab. We can see a new file has been created. And if I click on this demo file, we can see that this demo file here is using is injecting some extra JavaScript onto the page. It's using the social API to pull this stuff out. If I go over to the site contents, and if I look at the pages library, what you'll see here, here's the demo file that was just created, and it's using a new content type and page layout that was just provisioned. Another option that we have here is to use custom master pages. So from here, I'm going to say, let's deploy a theme and use it. So I'll click on deploy a theme and use it. That will take a theme. It'll upload it to SharePoint. And then once it uploads it to SharePoint, it will then set the SharePoint site to use this theme that we just created and provisioned. So now if I go back to my host web and I go back to the home page, things should look very different. And sure enough, they do. We have a background image and we have a whole different color scheme that we're using. If I go back to my app, I can deploy a custom master page and use it. So if I click on that button, that will take a master page that we have in our remote web. It will upload it to SharePoint. Once it's uploaded it to SharePoint, it'll then set the site to use that. And here we have using a custom master page. And then I can reset all my settings by saying reset the host settings to go back to just the stock look and feel for a SharePoint site. So once that's completed, I'll go back to my site, click on the image, and I now should see just the standard look and feel. If I scroll down a little bit farther, scenario three is going to allow us to set templates and page layouts. So one of the things we can do in a publishing site is control what subsite templates are available for use when creating subsites. If I come down here to create a new subsite, what you see here is I have a couple different templates. I have four collaboration templates. I have six different enterprise templates. I have three publishing templates. and I have one Duet Enterprise template. Furthermore, if I wanted to create a brand new page in my site, let's go back to the home page. If I wanted to create a brand new page, I give it a name. We'll just call it About. This About page is now been created. When I go to create pages, I also have a list of a bunch of different page layouts that I can choose from in a publishing site. But what I can do is if I come over here to the publishing features, I can apply some filters to the host web. And what that will do is it will only allow specific subsite templates to be used and specific page layouts to be used. So now that that's finished, let me come back to my site and let's refresh this site settings page. And let's see what templates are available to me. And sure enough, everything's been stripped out except for a team site or a blog. And that gives me a little more control here. So how do I do that? Well, there's a setting inside of the site settings page. If I go to the page layouts and site templates link under look and feel, this is where I can change the different filters of what would be available to me. And so I can add and remove things through this web interface, or as you saw, I just did it from a remote web. So let's take a look at the code and let's see what's actually going on inside this project. Now, first of all, we're uploading all of these things from a remote web and we're provisioning them and making all these changes. If I was doing this with fully trusted code, I could have done all of this without an extra project because I could have created a feature and then that feature could have used modules to provision content types for the publishing page for the page layout. It could have I could have used a module and a feature to provision a content type. That content type would have been used as for the publishing page and for the page layout. I could have provisioned a page layout. I could have provisioned a master page. I could have provisioned a theme. And then I could have used the activation events on the features to make the changes like creating a new page programmatically, setting the master page to be the current master page for the site, setting the theme to be the current theme to be used for the site, and also configuring the filters. But we're not doing this with fully trusted code. So I'm doing it all from a remote web and I've been given permission to do these things. Nothing is really going on inside the default ASPX because that default ASPX is simply a place for me to click buttons. What you see here is I have a folder here called resources. And what resources contains is some information for a theme. It contains a master page, a couple page layouts, and an XML, a JavaScript file as well. Now let's go ahead and let's look at the code for default.aspx and let's see what this thing really does. Some of the stuff is going to be some things that you're going to see inside of this and inside this class for the default pages code behind are going to use the shared patterns and practices project to do certain things. And I'll highlight where those are. We'll look at some of the extension methods from the shared patterns and practices project. Some of them that are covered in other modules and other samples and other videos for the patterns and practices stuff. I won't go into a lot of depth on those, just in the interest of time. So here what we're doing is we're getting a reference to the SharePoint client context, and then I'm also getting creating a new content type ID for the Contoso web page that we're going to create. So I'm defining that right here. Once I then go in and get a client context, I'm then going to check to see if a content type already exists called Contoso web page. Content type exists by name is an extension method that's provided on the web object. That's going to be found if I go over to the Office Dev PMP project. And this specific one, if I go to the declaration for it, is going to be found in the field and content type extensions.cs file. And you'll find a lot of that inside the app model extension. So it's found right here. And what this is doing is just giving us some extra methods on the CSOM to do certain operations that we don't have out of the box in the client object model. So let's check to see if that content type exists. If it doesn't, it goes ahead and creates it. And again, that's another extension method and it's demonstrated in some of the other samples. I'm then going to go deploy a page layout. Now, the way I deploy a page layout is I'm going to find the file that I want to upload. So here I'm passing in the path to the file. Then I've got some information here about what do I want to call it, what's the name, what's the description, and then what's the content type ID that I want to use. The process for deploying a page layout and also deploying a master page requires you use some of the special content types that Microsoft provides us and also setting some of the metadata. I'm going to refer you to another sample called the Apply Branding sample that's inside of the same Patterns and Practices project, because that goes into a lot of depth on what on how to configure and upload master pages and page layouts. And so the interest of time, I'm not going to dive into that in this video, but it's available in another video in this same package. The same is true for adding a content type to a list that's in the Modify Pages sample that we also go to, that we've also have in this Patterns and Practices sample. So I've deployed two page layouts. I go ahead and add a content type to a list, specifically to the pages list. I upload another JavaScript file to the site, and this is just going to stream a JavaScript file into the style library. It's just adding another file to a document library that is shown in multiple samples throughout the Patterns and Practices guidance. Now we want to create a brand new publishing page based on a page layout. Now the way we do this is that I have to go get a reference to the pages library, and then I'm simply going to be creating a list item inside of that page. So what this is doing is it's first getting a reference, it's getting a list of all the existing pages in the pages library. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a go run through this little if statement and check to see, did you already find the page? And if I did, go ahead and delete it and send those changes over to the server. So now let's go create a publishing page. First thing I'm doing here on line 103 is I'm getting a reference to the page layout that I want to create or that I want to use for this page, for this new publishing page. I then get a reference to the publishing web. The publishing web object is coming from the client object model's publishing API. And so I'm going and getting a reference to this publishing web. This is it's the exact same thing as a standard web object, except it has additional things in it that understand publishing sites a little bit more than just your standard web object. And then I'm going to create a new instance of the publishing page information. This object is going to allow me to create a new publishing page. So I'm going to give my publishing page a name of demo.aspx. I'm going to tell it the page layout that we want to use. I'm then going to go in and use the publishing web object and call his add publishing page and passing that in. Now, if the pages library requires checkouts or versioning, then I'm going to go deal with all that stuff. I'm going to go ahead and check the file in. I'm going to say this is a major check-in, and then I'm going to go ahead and publish the change. And if there's moderation on this library as well, I'm going to go ahead and go ahead and approve it. And then I'll say execute the query, and that's going to create my new page. So that's how we programmatically created a new publishing page from outside of SharePoint using the client object model. The second scenario was uploading master pages and themes. And again, there is a apply branding demonstration that shows you how to work with themes and how to upload themes and stuff. There's another project in the Patterns and Practices group that shows you how to do this stuff. So I'll refer to the sample inside the same package for the Office Dev Patterns and Practices, and there's a video that I did that also accompanies and explains how to go upload themes and change the site to themes and master pages. The next thing that I want to show you and take a minute to explain is the part about creating filters and filtering out the subsites and filtering in and out page layouts. So what you see here is I'm going to create a list of templates, and these are called web template entities. So this web template entity is a property bag, just a standard POCO object that's provided inside of the Patterns and Practices guidance project. It just contains a language code and a template name property. So I'm specifying the language code and the template names that I want to use. So here, this one is, it would be used for Finnish, and then these don't have any kind of filters on them. So in my case, you saw the filter in the demo was only allowing me to have access to two different templates, the team site template, which is STS0, and the blog template. I did not have access to this one as well because I don't have the Finnish language pack installed, and 1035 is for Finland. I'm then going to set the available templates that I want to have access to. I'm going to set those by calling this set available web templates. Now, this is an extension method on the web. So if I go look at him, I've passed in a collection of the different web template entities. And what this little extension method does is it creates an XML document, and it is going to build up a little section of web templates and explain and have some nodes inside of that document that say what things are available and what things are not available. It then is going to go set a value on the web. He's got a property bag, and that property bag on the web has a property called available web templates. This is a variable that's defined at the top of this code here. So we're on line 728. Let's just jump to the top real quick. And here you can see for the available web templates, it's underscore underscore web templates and underscore underscore page layouts. So let's jump back to where we were. So what I'm doing here is I'm saying setting a property bag value of the what web templates are available, and I'm passing in that collection, which is just an XML string. For the ones that are not available to us, I have another property bag called underscore underscore inherited web templates, and I'm saying don't inherit those from the parent. So that says if the parent site allows you to create certain sites, don't inherit those in the current site and let those be allowed as well. We're breaking inheritance. And so that's how we can go through and change the filtering of those things. So in this sample, you've seen how to upload some files to SharePoint, change the branding. It's sort of a duplicate from another one of the samples on modifying the page layouts and the themes and the brand, the master page. And again, to get the code for all of the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices group, make sure you go to GitHub at github.com/officedev/PMP. If you want to discuss these different samples, ask questions, and interact with the team, they have a dedicated group in the Office 365 technical network in Yammer. Just go to yammer.com/ITProNetwork and look for the group called O365 Dev Patterns and Practices.